I already messed it up.
Wow, you actually sound like you have a podcast voice.
I don't know if I should fight you or thank you.
I'm really happy. I'm also drunk. Attempt to, and then I like ruin.
Just fucking derail it.
Get into like, your mind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I let you know when things need to actually be started. I mean, that's definitely not the case. It would be, if I had that power.
To what? Just to force me to do things?
Not you specifically. I don't care that much about you.
Yes. General you.
Imagine, what if that was it, though? You had to choose a specific person. You can control someone. Like, you can put thoughts, but you have to choose. Who would you choose? You have to choose a specific person. And it can't be like you don't get to know. Let's just say you can't like right now all of a sudden get this power and be like, I'm going to choose Biden. Look at that. I remembered the president's name, damn it. See? Nice. I can do it.
This is Little Lit, the podcast where Danny remembers the president's name for once in our goddamn life now that it's not Trump. Mm. My name is Andrew Cleveland.
That makes me sound like a Trumper. I am not.
I know, that's why I said it.
I'm Danny Burford, and I always remember the president's name unless I'm very drunk on New Year's.
Okay, there's that too. This is a podcast where we can kind of talk about whatever we feel like talking about. Sometimes book related, sometimes not. And this time it's a little bit of both. We just last Lit, we had finished up the Mistborn series, mm-hmm. and with the Hero of Ages being the third book, and we were talking about how like. It would be a fun video game. I mean, we talked a lot about how it's a very cinematic book as well, about how like a lot of these fights and a lot of these big action sequences would look really cool on the big screen or even like in like an HBO type series or something.
What if during this video game you didn't get to choose if you were a Mistborn or a Misting? Like it was randomly generated. So
like you're playing Oregon Trail, and like you might you might end up
with dysentery.
Well, I was thinking at the beginning where you choose if like you're a banker or a farmer or something like that.
Yeah.
But yes, actually, hold on. Where is the cutoff for who would know about Oregon Trail as a video game from playing it in like computer lab growing up?
Oh my god, I fucking loved computer lab.
Did you still play Oregon Trail?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I played Oregon Trail.
Okay, so roughly 2 years ago when you were in middle school, it was still an active video game that everyone was playing.
I did it in elementary school.
That's what you took away from what I just said there? All right, fine.
I think that Oregon Trail... Maybe Oregon Trail is still happening. It just got better.
I wonder if it's like...
We don't have to wonder. We can look it up.
No. It's less that I mean, like, if it exists now, I mean, is it still being actively involved in like classrooms or something like that? Like, I'm not surprised if there was like a 2020 edition of Oregon Trail or something along those lines. I'm just wondering if it's actually being used.
What? No, it's definitely Chugi now because it's a card game.
Oh, never mind. Yeah, it's all done.
Yeah,
it's dead.
No,
yeah.
That's definitely. I feel like that's when you know.
R.I.P. Oregon Trail.
Yeah, that's when you know. Yeah, it's a card game now.
Well, let's not talk shit on card games too much, however.
Well, that's a very millennial thing, though. Like, yeah, of course, we're not going to talk shit on card games because we fucking love card games.
Well, hold on. Define card games from a millennial perspective that you're talking about right now.
Like Cards Against Humanity, like all those types of games.
I'm talking about, okay, I thought you were talking about like collectible card games, which is a different beast, I would
assume. Oh, like Pokemon?
God, that's the first fucking one you go to. Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, I didn't think about the Star Wars card game that you went to fucking...
Magic the Gathering! The biggest one! Oh. It remains the biggest one over all these years. Pokemon's pretty big, too.
Magic the Gathering was not my vibe.
Did you play Yu-Gi-Oh? Or did people that you knew play Yu-Gi-Oh?
No, it was Pokemon. That was it.
Pokemon was like the new game on the block when I was playing Star Wars. So that track. Anyways, the point is, after all of this,
video games were really cool.
We were thinking about how cool Mistborn would look in a variety of visual settings, including video games, and how it'd be cool to like control characters with different powers, etc. And we don't think that we've talked about video games in passing and in tangents on either Lit Lits or Little Lits, but we figured we'd do an actual episode about some of the video games that we played in the past or, you know, like are interested in the future, maybe if there's something like that for you. But yeah, like do you have a lot of history playing them, or was it kind of like a fuck around thing, or was it only with other people? Like how does it enter your life?
I never played them professionally, so it was definitely a fuck around thing.
All right, I don't need this from you right now.
The face. No, so like I was a PlayStation girly, played like that was growing up anyway, and N64, and also the
which PlayStation was it, 3 or 2?
2.
Okay. Oh wow, really? Why 2? I thought that would be too young for, or I thought that'd be too old of a system for you growing up.
No, we had PlayStation 2.
Well, I know you had it. I knew it existed. I'm saying I think that would be the primary one, I guess. I mean,
PlayStation 2 you could play Guitar Hero on, right?
I mean, I think you play probably in all of them. I mean, I won a PlayStation 2 when I was like 16 or 17 years old playing Star Wars card game. My PS2 came from like a very particular time in my life when they had just come out, and that was probably, you know, when I was in that was definitely when I was in high school. So I'm a little surprised that 10 years later when you were in high school
it might you'd be playing 3. The same thing.
It might have been 3. Okay, that's all I'm wondering. That's fine.
That came out in 2000. And my dad only played computer, like he only did PC games, so I can't imagine.
See, now I want to be clear. I am primarily a PC game player, but yeah.
I know. When did the PC? PS3? Okay, yeah, 2006. That makes more sense. I had a PS3.
Fair enough. But anyways, so you played some PS3 type shit growing up.
Yeah. Harry Potter, amazing. I don't know if you guys ever played the PS3 really? No. Harry Potter game. Ooh, fucking good.
Really?
Yeah, that was hardcore. And then I've played Mass Effect. I played all of Mass Effect. I'm not very good at shooter style games, so it takes me a while to get through them, which is why I don't think if Mistborn was turned into a game, I would be terrible at, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of buttons that you have to remember. That's why The Witcher's hard for me.
I think there'd be a lot of buttons. I don't think it'd be a shooter format. I think if you did Mistborn and it was first person, that would be a very bad idea, if you ask me. I think it would be much better as like an open world, like one of the new Spider-Man type games. Because I've talked before about how pushing and pulling reminds me a lot of web slinging. Like, you know, you kind of like dip down and dip back up, and like, you know, there's a momentum and a rhythm to it that way. So like, I think like one of those open world new Spider-Man games would be a really cool way to use a Mistborn as like a property.
Honestly, it would be very Assassin's Creed-y.
Oh yeah, okay, I could see that too. Or like Prince of Persia was a big one back for me as well. So
yeah, like it would. I feel like that would turn into like a subsect of one of those.
Sure.
Is subsect the word subset?
Subset. But I wasn't gonna say anything.
Subset. Sunset.
Sundown. Apparently, Jesus Christ, what's going on here?
I've been drinking wine since like 11.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never drank alcohol.
I don't drink for these things. Anyway, yeah, that is my gaming. Guitar Hero, I'm so fucking good at. Still am.
Beast.
I'm a fucking beast. Expert mode, I bring that pinky in.
I've heard that about you. I probably have played Guitar Hero, but like in passing at someone's like apartment sometime or something like that. I've never played it regularly.
You played here.
Moving on to the next thing. So I
yeah. What did you play? Like, what was your?
I don't want to embarrass myself. Oh, I primarily played PC games for sure. My parents did not want us playing. Did not want us having a console when we were kids. They were very much the type of parents that were still like trying to control screen time, and this is before phones and shit like that. So like we only got X amount of hours of TV a day. We didn't get we couldn't have console video game systems in the house for that exact reason as well. Mm-hmm. But computers were okay. My dad was a graphic design professor, and so we always had like, you know, we had Macs, so we had to worry about games that could be played on Macs. But I could play computer games without the same kind of like, hey, you can't do this for 5 hours a day type stigma as I could with anything else.
Did you have the Star Wars Racer game?
No, I know which one you're talking about too. Shit, what the hell one was that?
That one was so much fun.
Well, when I was a kid, I had friends that had a variety of systems. Like, one of my friends had, like, a Nintendo, original Nintendo growing up, so played, like, Turtles in Time and shit like that. And then another friend of mine had, like, I think it was, like, the third of the original, like, Turtles video games.
The Turtles video games?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Sorry.
I know the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I just know that you just called them the Turtles.
Well, I thought it was shorthand. I figured everyone knew about this, but I think I might be speaking to my own particular demographic as far as that goes. I had another friend who had like a SNES and like a Sega Genesis and a 64 and all that shit. So I played like GoldenEye growing up, and I played like
GoldenEye was fun.
And you know what just got released on like a Switch and I think a Xbox network, whatever the hell the gaming network is for it too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can play like multiplayer GoldenEye on like modern systems now.
That's
fun.
I feel like that's basically just like Clue, but
I think it's really interesting that like now you've basically got like, I'm sure these like rooms full of like 40 to 50 year old people that are like, I'm gonna fucking destroy all of these 14-year-old Call of Duty assholes. I've memorized every single layout of every single map in this game.
I mean, but
I totally understand, to be fair, because that's how I felt playing Diablo 3, but Diablo 2 Resurrected. So yeah.
Yeah, you're very into Diablo. I've played Diablo like a handful of times.
So I mentioned the whole thing with all these like systems that my friends had. So I've played some different games. You mentioned the Star Wars game. The Shadows of the Empire was the big Nintendo 64 game when I was playing it with some friends. Mm. Anyways, I in particular played PC games and or computer games, and I, as you just mentioned, I lost a decade of my life to Diablo 2. Diablo 2 is my favorite game of all time. Like, I absolutely love that game.
You will be playing Diablo right before we're recording. Like, you'll be like, I gotta go cancel out of things. Hold on.
Well, that's because this past October, I think it was, they had a latter season of Diablo 2 Resurrected. Mm-hmm. Diablo 2 Resurrected is like Diablo 2 with like fancy new updated graphics, and now they're actually changing like items and skills and stuff in the game, so they're changing like the meta and how you play the game.
Yeah.
So I've gotten into playing Diablo 2 again, which is fucking crazy because I played that game like religiously from being I don't know 16 years old to like 20 something. What?
I remember when that came out for you because you were like my entire weekend.
Pretty bummed about that.
You were like, okay, we have to record from like here to here, and then I need to play this video game for 48 hours straight.
I need to level up my fire sorceress so I can very quickly make enough currency to fund my
Who's
frenzy barb so I can actually
what is your character's name?
Those are relative throwaway things, to be honest, from
okay,
for
then
most
what does your character
people.
Do what do you got? Sorry, I didn't ask the right question, Andy. Trying to connect
I'm doing a terrible job. So I was just trying to make sure you knew on the same page. In Diablo, I was very, very, very partial to frenzy barbs, frenzy barbarians. They were a barbarian class that used that had a weapon in each hand, and there was a repeated attack that would make you faster and faster, both moving around and attacking. I loved it because it was a great way to take down all the big bosses in the game, and it also had some really cool synergies with a bunch of other like items I really liked. I don't know, I really got into the min-maxing of that type of character. I'm not really a min-max type player. I hate that if I'm accidentally talking down, I apologize. Do you know min-maxing as far as that as a term?
I mean, I think if you describe it for like a hot second, I can tell you if I do. I just might not know it in that language.
Min-maxing basically just means like doing every little detail to make your character as good as possible.
Oh, yes. Okay. I do. Yeah, I know.
So it happens because you're doing D&D now, D&D, too. It happens in D&D all the time. The way some players play D&D, they're like, I've got a story I want to do, or I like a certain type of character, and I want to make sure that I, like, you know, I've got a cool character that I like to play. And there's other players that are like, I want to do as much damage as I possibly can. And so they choose the perfect character for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. No, I know what that means in, like, that regard. I just didn't know it was called min-maxing.
Just want to make sure. What I love about Diablo 2 so much is that like you can have like a good character that functions well, and then you can like min max that character. You can get like perfect gear and, like, you know, get to the next level of gear as well.
What level are you at? Is there, like, does your character have a specific level attached to it? Is it kind of like you've been playing, like, you play a certain amount of time and, like, you get to a different level and shit like that?
So most action RPGs have, like, a level cap that they have. Some of them are relatively low. Some of them, like 99, 100 is the usual one.
Okay.
I honestly don't even remember what my Diablo 2 character is at this point.
It's like 150.
No, God, no. I don't play enough, unfortunately. The other game I play a lot now is Path of Exile, and Path of Exile is basically an action RPG that owes a whole lot of its, like, substance to Diablo and other action RPGs that came before it. I currently have, like, a level 93 character in that game, but, like, I play every 3 months or 4 months they release a new league, and every league has different, like, specific content to it. So it's stuff that you can't play in any other time that you play it. And so every league I make a new character and build it up from the ground. So, I mean, this current character is, like, level 93. What's the skill I use? Ethereal Knives character. And so, that's the thing about me. I only play certain games over and over. I don't have a broad spread of games at all. Like, when you were playing, why did you play the games that you played? Were they ones that you thought were cool? Were they ones you did with friends? Did you dig deep into certain games, or you just kind of, like, play whatever was around? Like, what was your method there?
Well, unfortunately, it had a lot to do with exes.
Well, yeah, that'll happen.
But I will say, like, the games that I actually got into, I get really into story-based games.
Okay.
So
I think on this podcast we've talked about The Wolf Among Us, right?
That game is so fucking cool. I wish I could play it again without having ever played it before.
Oh, so you know what was happening?
Yeah.
Or what the story was like, you mean?
Yeah, so that one was really, really fun. I would rather have, like, quick, it's funny, like, I have very good reaction time when it comes to, like, quickly saying something or quickly, like, doing that, but when it comes to anxiety ridden, like, holy shit, someone's shooting at me over there, my thumbs just, like, don't work. So I would say that, like, most of the time when I would choose games that I wanted to play, they were, like, very heavy story-based. And also, I like games like Mass Effect, where the story can change depending on, like, what decisions you make.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the classic RPG type shit, where you have, like, a tree in which you can go through.
My only thing with Mass Effect is, like, yes, you got all of these choices, you got to make all of these things, and, like, the story, like the storyline could change for you in a way, but no matter what, you ended up with the same ending. And that, to me, was, like, a little, like, okay, well, then why did I try so hard to make all of these different choices no matter what, I was going to have these three choices to make at the end. And I get that you can make those choices depending on, like, how into your player you are and, like, everything like that. And I wasn't super into, like, RPGs in the sense that I am now with, like, D&D and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I would definitely play more aligned with myself than I was playing aligned with a character or, like, making a character that wasn't like myself. But at the end of the day, I do like more story-based. Like, Sean just started playing The Witcher recently, or I guess we both started playing The Witcher together recently.
Sure. What system is that on?
Xbox One.
Okay. That's fine.
No, I'm mostly just saying that because I think it's the Xbox One.
Okay.
I think so. I want a Switch. That's what I want to get.
I've heard good things about a Switch. Our mutual friend Angela has one and loves it very much. So, yes. I
want to get a Switch because it gives you the ability to play with people, your friends online.
Yeah.
So, like, my cousin Carly, her fiance Roberto, who we're very close with, they have a Switch, and you could play Mario Kart online over a weekend. Like, you could, like, you know what Mario Kart is?
No.
What?
Mario Kart?
Yeah, it's like drunk driving. No. I'm sorry, it's like the game, well, that's a terrible way to put it. Anyway, Mario Kart is basically, it's a drinking game that you play during Mario Kart, where...
Oh, okay.
You're not allowed to take a sip of your beer if you're driving. but you have to finish your beer before the race. So you have to decide if you're going to chug it all in one go and, like, not pass the start line for a hot second, which does suck when you're playing with Sean because it's, like, a black hole of being able to chug.
He just finishes in 3 seconds and then keeps going anyways.
Yeah, which is boring. Yeah. Whatever. But yeah, let's be real quick. But you can, like, connect, like, on your Switch. Like, you can play online with friends who also have Switches.
Sure.
To me, is very intriguing because I love game nights.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, I as much as I play video games, like aside from playing Diablo 2 with Dave, I mostly play my video games like completely solo. So like, I don't play shooters. So I don't have like the game rooms that you get into. Just hop into random games. I don't really have friends that play Path of Exile. I would actually like that because I would like to talk it over with people because I tend to understand things better the more I discuss them with people as opposed to working them out in my own head and trying to learn them on my own. So I kind of wish that I had more people to play with as far as that goes. But
I think my friend Seamus plays Path of Exile. I know he plays League of Legends. Oh, and I know he plays Diablo.
Yeah. Oh, wow. He might.
Right. I think he might. And I think he has like a crew that play, because like he plays his like all those games with friends on like Discord and stuff.
All right. I'm intrigued. We'll talk
after. We'll put a pin on that.
But but hearing what you said about playing with like exes, I had two games I played a ton with them. The girl I dated in college and afterwards in grad school, shout out. I had a long-standing habit of playing Mario Kart Double Dash for the GameCube with. That was one where when you played cooperatively, like one person could drive, one person would be the gunner. So I would drive and she'd like fire all the shells and shit off.
Yeah.
We were very good at it to the point where like we started keeping track of all of our like our race record times on like a slip of paper that we kept inside like the little plastic container that you had the cartridge for. And so anytime we had like a really good run, we'd like look it up at the list and be like, no, okay, we're still a little bit slow. And then like the next time we got one out, we'd cross the old one out and put the new one in. And we'd always like update our best times and everything along those lines. I was very fucking good at that game at that time, including all the mirror runs and everything like that.
Did you ever? I don't know. I mean, this is the game that like I'm sure we didn't make it up, but like we played it. Like for Mario Kart, the ones that had you had the balloons, like.
Oh yeah, the versus battle ones.
Yes. Yeah. Do you remember the setting that was basically just like blocks on top of each other, and there's like three.
Yeah.
Floors, and they were all connected by bridges and shit like that. And they were like,
I didn't play this mode that much because again, we mostly played cooperatively, like racing against the PC. But I do know what you mean. Yeah.
So what we would do is that we would collect all of the shells. Like we would like hit all of the like the cube, whatever. What the fuck?
The mystery boxes.
Yes, thank you. And we get shells, and all of us would launch our shells onto the first level. And then we would take turns running laps around the first level, and you had to do it without getting hit by a shell.
That's pretty cool.
Or, like, dodging all the shells. Yeah, it was so much fun because, like, and then, like, at the end of it, we would end up just, like, trying to hit each other and shit like that. But,
of course, yeah.
It was so much fun to do that, to see, like, how fast you could do it, like, trying to, like, dodge everything and, like, if we would turn into a drinking game, naturally.
Yeah, of course.
Legally have to. So if like you lost a balloon, you had to take a shot and like stuff like that.
Yeah. Did you you mentioned before like you loved RPGs. Did you play actually hold on. Let me pin that for 1 second. I just want one more thing. We also play the Lego Star Wars. And Lego Star Wars is a fucking ton of fun, by the way. Like I have not played like the Batmans or all the other like versions of the Lego games and whatnot. But the Lego Star Wars games were amazing because it was highly collectible. There was so much stuff that you could unlock over the course of the game, like all different like spaceships and like items and characters. Characters were a huge one because like you wanted to be able to play as insert your favorite character here, but they weren't automatically available from the very beginning. And like that was another game that we played like over and over again because like it wasn't just being the level the first time. It was going back after you unlocked certain characters that could, for example, like double jump. and then you could find the other pieces in that level that you had missed before. Like it was one of those games that had endless replayability if you wanted to like get every collectible aspect of the game, and I really really enjoyed playing that one.
That's a really good one.
But I was going to ask you before I got back on that. Did you play any other like traditional RPGs? Did you play like Final Fantasy games or anything like that, or was it mostly like the ones that you just kind of happened to come across?
No, I did Final Fantasy, not well, but I played Final Fantasy, and then Seamus, who I've brought up in the past and stuff, and currently. Love Final Fantasy. Him and his brother loved Final Fantasy. So growing up, they lived next door to me, and I would like we just hung out 24/7. Like that's what we did. So
yeah.
I definitely watched that game get played all the way through, like all the way through, and then also like played it every once in a while. But I'm also someone that really enjoys, which is like so fucking weird and, you know, might be patriarchal, but really enjoys like if someone knows how to play a video game well.
No, we're fine. Yeah. I was gonna ask you about this. Seriously.
Like knows how to play a video game well and plays the storyline and actually like does everything. I enjoy watching that.
Because, I fully agree.
It's fun. Because like if they are either one like completely silent or two are like asking you like, hey, like what do you think we should do here? Like what, like being in that kind of collab has been really cool. Sean, God love him, is not very good at video games.
All right, a fatal flaw for this tall, handsome man. Yeah,
that's it. Imagine that was his fatal flaw. No, he's not very good at video games. He is, like, he plays a lot of Madden, a lot. That's actually not true at all. He plays Madden. But he likes the drafting portion of Madden.
Well, see, I had friends in college that would do the franchise version of Madden where you play like the same like team for 10 years or whatever. So my friends would make create a characters for all of the like the group of friends that we had in college. They wouldn't turn them all up to 99. They would just like relabel some of them or something like that, and they would guide certain players towards certain like positions. Like my favorite thing about American football is playing cornerback. I love secondary play. I like safeties as well, but like cornerback in particular. And so my friends would make me a cornerback. So like, I would be like, you know, I'd get an interception in some games and whatnot. But also like, I just like watching them play the game because, I would be able to like just I wouldn't just be sitting there like, you know, fists under chin, like elbows on knees, like watching them the entire time. I'd be like, you know, reading a book for school or like, you know, fucking around on doing something else myself. But I'd have like my two friends playing Madden in the background, and they would like, I'd see them like barely beat teams, or I'd see one of our friends like as players in the game like get like three sacks in a game or some shit like that. That was always a lot of fun. That was really cool. It wasn't communal, because that would imply a lot more like help along the way.
Yeah.
But it was very much a like, hey, we're all kind of like hanging out together, and we happen to be doing like different things, but we're all paying attention to the same thing, which is this video game.
One thing that I hated was the guy that I dated in college, no shout out. Anti shout out. He was really into Halo. And so he would play like the mini games or whatever, where you would have to like collect the flaming skull, which like, ooh, whoa. Anyway, it was basically like capture the flag. So you had to.
Yeah, I remember those. Yeah.
Yeah. My biggest thing that I fucking hated was when I would miraculously say, hey, I'll play. Like, I would, like, let's do this. And instead of it being a learning moment, it was a good luck moment.
Oh, so he'd be like, I'm gonna fucking wreck you or something.
Yes.
Like that. That's
and then
so
it
dumb.
Was.
Why?
I know. And so I would try and like figure shit out and whatever. And I was never gonna be like, I cannot aim and shoot at the same time. I have to aim and then shoot.
Yeah.
And then by that time, the person's gone.
Yeah, they're done.
Why I always choose people, and I did this with Skyrim. The first time I played Skyrim, I picked an archer, and I was like, not my bag. Not my fucking bag. I was so stoked, and I was like, this is going to be it. I really like it, whatever. Did not go well, and then I canceled everything, canceled all my plans, and became just like, I just had a fucking hammer. Just like really,
just a big old monster just running through shit. Just like,
yeah, like that's yeah. what I need to do, because there's no fucking. You know what I love to do though is to watch people play scary games.
Oh really? Like atmospheric games or like Silent Hill type shit or
Silent Hill type shit. So the Alien that came out in like 2015. 2014, 2015 was a really scary game. There's also one, I'm totally blanking on the name of it, but you're a news reporter or like a journalist, and you go into basically an abandoned asylum.
All right.
And that was an insane, like watching people do that kind of shit was fun.
I could see that because that has a lot. That's a lot more than just like the mechanics of the game, and is more about the overall like experience of the game. Like and to be fair, like a lot of my memories of video games that do not just involve me like enjoying a video game are because I had some kind of like overall experience that I could share with someone else or whatnot. Like I had a friend that we would play. Diablo I love, and now Path of Exile is like my favorite like action RPG that I play like routinely. I play that daily pretty much. And other than that, the only game I still play currently that I have played for years and years and years is Civilization. I love Civilization. I think it's one of the best fucking games that's ever existed, because you get to like, you know, you start in 4000 BC and you choose whatever civilization you want to play, and you go all and you choose how you want to. It's so open-ended. All the maps are random every single time you generate one. There's no way to play the second game, the same game twice. It's so endlessly replayable. And when I was growing up, the first of the series I ever played was Civilization II, and a friend of mine, we would always play together, and we would play. We experiment with a hot seat game, and a hot seat game is where like people are playing on the same computer, and you basically just like take turns playing.
Oh, okay.
So like I would play as, I don't know, Babylon. I'd take my turn, I'd hit enter, and then be like, and the little prompt would be like, next, you know, player two or whatever, and then he'd get in front of the computer and he'd play as, you know, the Assyrian, the Mongols or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so he'd play his. And the idea was that you don't like look at each other's maps so you know where everyone is and you can like, you know, fight against them. But like that was why it didn't really work, because we were fucking like young teenagers who would always like. So we end up playing these collaborative games where we play together, and I was the main like empire builder, and then I would turn it over to him like halfway through the game, and I'd be like, hey, why don't you wage war on everyone and take over the world? He'd be like, cool, got it. I mean, and he would use the infrastructure I would build up, but to be fair, would do it so much better than I would ever be able to do. I was a very bad like general as far as those things would go, and he was a lot better at it.
I've always thought that about you.
It tracks, right? So yeah, I don't know, it was fun. We also I loved NetHack. If you ever heard the term roguelike game,
I mean, we have a rogue in our D&D game.
No, okay. So rogue in this case refers to a game, and what it means is that you play it through, and when you die, you die. There's no save points, there's no nothing, you just start over, there's nothing.
Oh, is that kind of like
Hades,
Dark Souls? If you play it on hard.
I have never played a Souls game, including Elden Ring, so I don't really know, but a little different as far as this goes, because
I played Dark Souls.
Oh, I heard it's very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play it well.
Roguelike in this case, I mean, is that like a rogue game is one where you start and you learn things yourself as you play the game, and you learn different items and what they can do and different like tricks and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you start from the beginning, you play all the way through, and when you die, and that's it. And it's very, very impossible to beat the game, so you're mostly just trying to make it as far as you can.
So like you get like reborn, and then you can start over again, but you're at zero.
you start a brand new game every single time in this case. Like you don't save
in a brand new world, like in a brand new.
It's the same game, or it's the same setting every single time. So NetHack is the one I play. NetHack is that there's an amulet at the bottom of this dungeon, and you have to go all the way down to dungeon level like 75 to grab the amulet, and then you have to make it all the way back up as well. Mm-hmm. That's how you beat the game. A good game is making it to level like 20.
Gotcha.
So this is what I mean. Like, it's almost impossible to beat. You have to have like these amazing, perfect runs, and you have to know everything about the game and maximize all of the little things that work for the game to make it through your run and actually be successful. And even then, you are very, very, very unlikely to beat the game. Like, the best people, the people who designed the game have only ever beaten the thing like 5 times. You know what I mean?
How often did you watch Grandma's Boy?
I have probably seen it once and that's it. I hate to say.
Really? That's it?
At most, yeah. I don't even know if I've seen it all the way through.
Really? But he makes the best game in the world.
We're talking about Nick Swardson, right?
I don't know fucking names.
The comedian that was also in Reno 911 as the as the prostitute. Yeah, Nick Swartz is very, very funny. Or at least I do not keep tabs on him, so I don't know if he's problematic in some way. But like I've always very much enjoyed
it
him.
It was also the what's the like fucking older sitcom? I don't know. Why I'm asking you, but the older sitcom, everyone loves Raymond.
Okay.
The mom from Everyone Loves Raymond was in it.
Doris Roberts, is that her name?
Sure. I can tell you show titles. Do not ask me first names. I'm surprised that you have that not.
Just some falls into my general category of likes, you mean? Or
yeah, I don't know why I thought that was going to be. Mm-hmm. I really thought I hit like a home run with that one. I thought you were going to be like.
Oh my god, you've heard of Grandma's Boy?
Yeah, like, I just thought I really got it. I thought I understood you, you know? Like, I really thought we were going to have a moment, and we're not. And so then now we just have to go back to the bases and, like, just attempt to become friends again.
150 episodes later, and we're still not good enough friends. Damn shame.